this fine evening, we're gonna frolic with some sweet little baby kitty cats with this incredibly, absolutely delightful OVA. That is What's Michael on this episode of OVA Tonight.
I don't know what's Michael, but I know I love Michael.
I had to edit out of last week's or the last episode because I kept saying where's Michael instead of what's Michael. And I was like, I don't want to confuse people even more than I'm already confused. But yeah, we're watching What's Michael.
Yes.
Welcome to OVA Tonight. I'm Ian Osmond.
I'm David Caldwell.
We are an anime podcast where we review every single OVA in order. Almost everyone, and kind of in order.
Most of them, yeah.
The information on a lot of this is very conflicting, it's rough order.
Yeah.
Because no one really keeps track of this stuff.
Yeah.
Someone did, apparently.
Yeah. Someone.
I think it was someone from one of the fan subbing communities that I found their letterboxed that had a good list of all these. And that's kind of I've been using.
That would make sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They would want to keep track of that.
But the question is everyone wants to know, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this podcast? Why are we going through every single OVA? Which OVA stands for what?
Original Video Animation.
Yes, it does. And, it's because we are part of a congressional oversight committee that is investigating OVAs in general, and just anime. The committee itself is just kind of looking at anime's influence and see how it's using its, if it's not stealing information and using it like evading Americans' privacy. And using it for its own nefarious reasons or whatever. Yeah. And we are in charge of, actually, we're just aides for the Congressional Committee. Yeah. And we're going through all the different OVAs to see if they're all on the up and up.
Yeah. How and why they're stealing our information.
I have a lot of questions.
Yes.
None of it's, I haven't figured out how they're stealing our information using these 1985 OVAs. Definitely when they were like, release on Laserdisc.
Oh yeah.
Cause it's like Laserdisc is kind of hard to do a covert like spy shit on a Laserdisc. Yeah. Cause it's kind of big.
Yeah.
They scratch pretty easily. Once they scratch you, they barely play.
Yeah. It will
very finicky.
It will transport you to some other dimension.
I can like see a better spy video format other than like digital now would probably be, I would say mini disc because that is the future.
Yeah.
Because hey, when you watch like Johnny Mnemonic and all that stuff, it's always like little mini disc. You're like, yeah.
Yeah. UMDs. Played in the PSP.
That is the future. Mm-hmm. Those are the best ones. And the RCA Selectivision video disc players. The ones that are in the giant plastic sleeve that you inject into a player and then pull out. Because it feels like you're doing like a Soviet, like nuclear site, like work thing. You have to shove it in and pull it out, and you don't know what's inside this disc. It's just you can't see it. No one can. What secrets is it hiding? But you guys don't know what those are. Look them up. They're great. I think I have a player or two somewhere, and they also the quality wise is about the same as a VHS. But this way they take up more room.
Yeah.
And they, halfway through, you have to get up and flip them over.
Yeah. Like Laserdisc though, it lets you have like nice big, cover art though.
So yeah, and Laserdisc actually had the better quality than DVD, but this was kind of like the predecessor to. But they actually used the RCA Selectivision actually used needles, and it actually was a vinyl disc that played video. It's fascinating. It's fascinating what all the shit can do.
That's crazy like how that works.
Like VHS tape, like cassette tape and VHS tapes were used for like data for computers at one point. Like definitely cassette tapes, but VHS were too. Like you could, I saw an adapter where you could hook it up to like a serial port in your computer and use it for storage.
Yeah.
A VHS tape. It's crazy.
that's crazy.
But it's all magnetic tape. That's all hard drives were for the most part for the longest time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so we're doing this because we're part of an oversight committee, and we're this is logs for, I guess, us to go back to her later. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what we're doing with all this.
Yeah, I don't know.
But our current one is this is our 23rd one we're covering, and it's the 1985 OVA What's Michael, which is weird. That is a session. It is this is the 23rd episode, and we're doing something called What's Michael.
Yeah.
And what was a big thing in 1985 that is also number 23?
Yeah.
It's Michael Jordan.
Oh.
Yeah. His rookie year was 80, was 84 to 85. So this is probably, this came out during his second year. So this was the year when his, like, the Air Jordan came out, essentially.
Yeah.
But doing research for this OVA, I mostly found information on Michael Jordan and Michael Jackson because they both were huge in 1985. Yeah. So it's like
it's a big year for Michaels.
and this is a very generic title for searching.
Yeah, it's very generic.
But yeah, so it came out in November 25th, 1985. Mm-hmm. And of course, since now we're using the power of AI technology. I asked Bing, what were events that happened on this year? Are these events correct? Probably not. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do I want to double check them? No, I don't.
Who's got time for that?
No, I don't. But apparently the on November 20th, 1985, the same day this came out, Calvin and Hobbes made their debut.
I think that is correct.
I assume Calvin and or Hobbes is the one who peed on a Laserdisc of this OVA on the back of a Ford.
It would have been Calvin, because I was the kid.
See, I never read Calvin and Hobbes, but I was aware of the little boy peeing on like Jeff Gordon or Dale Earnhardt or like Ford or Chevy. I was always aware of that decal, which never really seemed to fit like the Calvin Hobbes cartoon.
No,
that I did,
because they're all bootleg. And I think they're part of the reason why he stopped doing the comic strip. Probably not, but maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
and this definitely has a very like that's an Orange Cat comic strip. This is an Orange Cat comic strip. Like it, there's definitely
like Heathcliff, like Garfield.
But this is very different. They're all very different.
But like, all different. Yeah,
they're all different. True. Apparently, they found the Titanic that day, 1985. They found the wreckage was located. The song "Separate Lives" by Phil Collins was the number one hit in the U.S. The musical "The King of I," starring Yul Brynner, opened Broadway Theater in New York. That confused me because he was in the movie in the 60s, I do believe. And I was just like, this is 1985, but I guess a revival they did is of the musical. And I think it was actually in January, not November. But and also, Daniel Ortega was inaugurated as the president of Nicaragua for the first time. And I think he actually still is.
Oh, well, okay. One of those president for life type things.
Yeah, I'm looking it up. Is he still president of... Yeah. Yes, he is. He's still president of Nicaragua.
President for life. Okay.
Yeah.
One of those deals.
Yeah, I like when that, like, Putin did that. Like, he was elected as president of Russia, and then he, like, when his term limit ended, another guy ran and won, and then resigned and gave the post to Putin. None of this ever came up again for the, it was like, okay. Then I don't think there's term limits anymore. There's still elections, though, but.
Yeah.
Loose elections. And I think it's kind of the same in Nicaragua.
probably.
But that was around the time when the U.S. was kind of trying to fuck them up some.
Yeah.
But there's a really good movie all about Nick Rockwell called Walker, starring Ed Harris. It's an Alex Cox movie. It's a true story about this guy. He was a lawyer from Nashville, here where currently where I'm living. There's a plaque for him downtown. It's fucked up. He was a lawyer who became a mercenary who in the 1800s, late 1800s, went down to Nicaragua and made himself dictator of the country. And he promised not to enslave the people, and the first thing he did was enslave the people.
Enslave the people, of course.
And then they revolted and murdered him.
Yeah.
And then downtown Nashville has a plaque honoring this man. Yeah.
Sure.
He was a prominent white man.
I mean, definitely.
He accomplished a lot. He was hired to go down there to Nicaragua, probably for like factory and trade route and stuff like that. And he was just like, yeah, you know what? I'm a slave. I want to make myself leader of this country.
Yeah, of course. As any good, upstanding white man should do.
I mean, this is a government podcast, so I mean, they're all aware of this. Yeah. They know what they're doing. Yeah, so what is this show about? Not our show. Where's Michael? Michael.
Oh, yes.
We're about oversights and committees, right, and congressional.
Right. Well, What's Michael is about Michael, an orange American short-haired tabby, his feline friends, and other domesticated pets in a series of humorous episodes. So yeah, it's kind of like a series of vignettes.
Have you had a cat?
Yes. It's been a while, but yeah.
Raised around cats?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, we had some cats growing up.
Yeah, I always had a cat. And of course, I have a cat now named Beans. She's been in basically laying next to my computer about every episode that we do. She was just a stray outside that wandered into my apartment, and then it's here. Mm-hmm. I love stories of how people get dogs. Like, I have a friend who got a dog, and I had to do all through his paperwork, had to pay stuff, had to go for house visits. All this crazy stuff, and I was just like, this cat wandered in my apartment. It's like, okay.
It just showed up one day.
Yeah. Also, like, I grew up, like, how you get a dog is just someone has a box full of dogs at Walmart.
Yeah.
In the Walmart parking lot. That's how you get a dog. There's just a box of dogs in a parking lot. You have a dog. Like, it is weird to me,
That's how we got dogs where I grew up.
Yeah. So, yeah. Or like, oh, we had our dog accidentally got pregnant. You want a puppy? Like, that was like, okay. Yep. Like, that's how when I grew up, that's how, but here in the big city, they're all just like, we got to do all these paperwork. We got to adopt him. Like, it's an actual, like, I think it's easier to adopt a child in some places than it is a dog.
Probably.
People care more about adopting dogs, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's sad. You know they have dog insurance. You can get like pet insurance now.
Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah, so this anime. I've vaguely have heard of What's Michael. I think I mostly knew about it from like, I think I've seen pictures of this cat before, and I think I've seen the Dark Horse comic before.
So yeah, I was aware of the manga. Yeah, the Dark Horse. Yeah, Dark Horse put it out over here.
Yeah, and it was created by Makoto Kobayashi. I think I said his name right.
Yeah.
Don't ask me to say it again.
Just a bit, yeah.
He was a Japanese manga artist. He started his career in 1978, and he won the Kobayashi Manga Award twice for his works for What's Michael and for something called Sanshiro of One Two. And I thought that was a typo because this was AI generated. And then I double checked. I was like, no, that's what it's called. Okay. I assume it makes more sense in Japanese.
Yeah.
A lot of that stuff does. Cause that's a lot of the stuff that's the thing I always have against like the sub versus dub the argument people tend to have. Yeah. And it's just like, well, I prefer subbed over dub because that's the way it's originally supposed to be. I was like, no, not really. It's originally supposed to be, you know, Japanese. That's how it's meant to be, because people are taking it like literal translations. A complete exact literal translation is almost gibberish a lot of times. So you have to take creative liberties to match it up to the mouse, as well as to like just make it make sense. And that's something that like people, but it's a big argument in the poetry world, like the foreign poems. Like if you translate foreign poems, that's at a certain point, it just becomes a different poem. Which it's a fascinating argument, like for art in general. But I don't know what I was talking about. But anyway, so this Sancho of 1-2 is a comedy manga about adventures of Sanshuro, a big young man who is good at various sports but not interested in any of them, and Shino, a crybaby girl who transfers to his school. So it looks like it's a nice little romantic comedy, which, you know, I'm a sucker for those. Because I actually started watching the Kim McGrew Orange Road show because it's on Crunchyroll, which I've been and really enjoying. I thought it was like Archie, and it's really it's not. He has like superpowers, but like mind powers they don't really ever fully use. But it is just a fascinating kind of, you know, he likes one girl, another girl likes him. It's fun anime. I've been really enjoying it. But this creator hasn't really done much other stuff. I looked him up. He basically just did those two. But What's Michael's pretty popular, so you probably worked on that. I assume he became like a teacher. I assume anyone, I don't know, they didn't do anything for a while. I assume they became teachers.
It's possible.
And the director of this is Najio Madoko. And he did this and something called Dream Hunter Rim, which we're covering in like a few episodes from now.
Pretty soon,
Like 3 episodes from now, we're doing that. So I mean, it's so we'll see him again. And he just did most of the storyboards. He was supported by the animation studio PCN. Which people think he may have been the president of. No one knows.
Well.
But what can you tell me about the manga?
Well, the manga, it began serialization in Weekly Morning Magazine in 1984. And apparently Michael is not a specific cat, but rather a feline version of the Everyman, as he appeared in dramatically different settings across different chapters. So you got 2 anime OVA films. This one we just watched, and I guess another one in the
TV. There's one that came out in 88.
We'll get there in about 10 years. But
there's my cat again.
So then there's a regular TV series. Received the Kodansha Manga Award for General Manga in 1986.
That's pretty good. And then, of course, then there's a Dark Horse that was on for 11 volumes. Between 97 and 2006, I figured that came out a lot like before early 90s, but not like late 90s, early 2000s. But I guess that's when like manga or like anime really took hold in the States. I like how there's a collection omnibus of the Fat Cat collection they released a couple years ago in 2020.
Yeah, I've seen, and you can find that. That's easy to find. So.
They released in American magazines, one called as Manga Gen, which I never heard of, and Super Manga Blast, which that sounds like either like a really bad manga magazine or a hentai. Yeah. Like they can go either way on that one.
Yeah. I think both of those might have been from Dark Horse too.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I'm 100% on. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Super Manga Blast was definitely.
But since that's Dark Horse, that means it was done from the left to right way. Cause that's how they normally done theirs. And it was released in normal comic book size.
Yeah.
My cat is like jumping all over me as we're doing a cat episode and I'm just fighting my own cat this entire episode. Go bother someone else. Get. Is literally on top of me. What'd you think of the music on this one?
Music was fun, upbeat, kind of
Now I'm gonna play some of the theme song.
Did like the random music video in the middle. That was fun.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I play.
Oh yeah.
So nice. This is the music video that plays randomly in the middle of it. A music video starts.
Yeah.
Which seems like it's the theme song.
And gets sucked into the laser disc.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's this guy in like a weird space outfit dancing on a laser disc as various graphics appears of What's Michael. It's the song is called Sopo, which they do say a couple times in this.
Yeah.
And the artist is PJ. PJ, which I was able to find his information on Discogs, the discography website.
Nice.
Discogs.com.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn it down slow. He was an American Japanese reggae musician.
Oh. That's cool.
He was in a band called PJ and the Cool Runnings, and did this one album. And then he went on to do this and a couple other stuff throughout the 90s. So I guess this is Japanese reggae.
I guess so.
Michael, what's Michael? Tell me what you're thinking. Yeah. I don't know if that remotely synced up because Zoom is weird.
Yeah.
So the music is done by PJ. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the rest is done by on that, but the rest of the music is done by the manga creator himself, Kobayashi, actually did some music for it. As well as Lion Mary, who we have previously covered in Radio City Fantasy.
Cool.
And they did another little song. My cat. Which this is a little bit more of a traditional anime music.
Yeah.
I'm just dancing now. But yeah, so I guess we never really talked about the anime itself. We're just going to start going into the information on what it's about. But the anime itself is essentially just a vignettes of little skits, little jokes of different adventures of What's Michael. There's a lot of newer shows that kind of very much of this format. I would say what's the one about the Kuz's house husband, the way of the house husband.
It's
very much like this. There's a lot of those that are very much like short little animes that they put into like this easily could have been a whole series of like 5 minute shorts.
Yeah.
But they put it into a movie. And they're it's incredibly delightful. They're really fun. Oh, yeah. I like one where he's in heat, even though male cats don't go into heat. Not like that. Like they had that's how female cats going to eat. So they get him a female cat to be with.
Get him a wife, but it's a kitten.
But this little kitten is too young, and then he tries to, and it's like, no, he's too. It's a baby, and it's like he's like, okay. But he doesn't want to either. He can't control the urges. But even though that's not how cats work, male cats don't go to heat. Exactly. Female cats do.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, whatever. I get it. They did for the joke, but it's not like cats were a new thing though.
Oh no, not at all.
People had pet cats since like ancient Egypt. Like it's just like, you know, but whatever. There's a lot of other little vignettes that are pretty fun. There's one where he escapes, And they have tried to get him back, and then he shows up, and
he's running around everywhere.
He's running, trying to get him, and then the owner is like getting real sad, and he shows back, and he's almost about to give up, and he goes home, and there's Michael just waiting for him at the door, and he's like, "Michael," it's fun. Like, we can all relate to like opening the door a crack, and the cat runs out. It's very much like there is a lot of stuff, even though they don't know how cats mating, and they did it for the joke. I'm aware of that, because everything else they did was very cat-like. The only time he's very humanoid is occasionally have him dance.
I like the one where he's hunting. It's like, oh, if he fails, he'll just dance away.
Yeah.
When cats fail, they dance away to the distance.
And it's really hard to kind of go into, because there's so many of these little skits that I just don't you just don't remember as much, but I really enjoyed watching all of these.
Remember the Catzilla?
Oh, yeah, it starts off with, his owner, wearing a Godzilla mask, and he's terrified of him.
Yeah, he's just like, oh.
And then he takes it off, and he's like, oh, it's him. And then he proceeds to do various other stuff to torture his cat with.
Yeah.
But then gives him something nice and then tortures him again, which is...
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I get bored and torture my cat. It is kind of fun. They're sleeping, start poking at him and stuff. But she takes back... she fights back by meowing in the background of when I'm trying to record a podcast.
Yeah.
So, joke's on me.
Yeah.
I couldn't find a whole lot of information on this one as a whole. It doesn't seem like this one's really, this is another one that was kind of the orphan fan sub group. Like they did some nice subtitles on it, and those are the guys that's like, I don't think people's aware of this until like a couple years ago in the first place, at least here. So there's not a whole lot of people watching this one. It's a shame because it's really delightful. I think I got both the OVAs, but I can't find the TV show. Because that was like in the late 80s when that came out. It probably exists. I don't think the subtitle version does.
Yeah.
Because it's a shame. Because this is one that they could easily dubbed into English that would have done well.
Yeah.
Like I'm surprised there isn't like a hacked version of What's Michael, where they're trying to cash in on Garfield and add like a dumb soundtrack and just butcher all this stuff. Like they could easily
love Garfield. You love Heathcliff. Now,
is it because you see his cat balls?
It could be.
And there's jokes with him like being in heat. I mean, I guess answer my question there.
Yeah.
I know there's some other animal-based ones they tried that just never really took hold. There's that one that's been on forever, but I don't know the name of it. So that's all good. So this one, I recommend this one to watch. I think it's really fun.
Definitely. Yeah.
You can, watch. Yeah. I found it on archive.org. So this one's not on YouTube, weirdly enough. A lot of them I find on YouTube, but this one I couldn't find on YouTube. But it's on archive.org, both of them, both of the OVAs. We haven't watched the second part. We will.
Yeah.
Cover it at least in 1988. But that's quite a years away. I don't know how many OVAs came out in 86 and 87, but I assume 6 sure. million.
Yeah. It exploded.
The fact that we've been doing we're on the 23rd episode, and I think we've been doing 1985 since episode 3, I think. So I'm not sure on that one. So check this one out.
Yeah.
But I asked Bing some other questions since new AI Bing is makes lazy research even easier. I asked it about orange cat. I asked it to write a blog. Last episode I asked it about tsundere and told you how to be a tsundere and stuff like that. So I asked if some orange tabby cat facts. Since this is all about an orange tabby, so this is what Bing wrote. Hello, fellow cat lovers. Today I'm going to share with you some fun facts about orange tabbies. Did you know that orange tabbies are not a breed but a color pattern? They have different body types and personalities depending on their breed. Orange tabbies are almost always male. Only about 20% of them are female. Yeah, calico cats are mostly female.
Say they're the other way.
Yeah, so it's like there's certain, yeah, it is fascinating. This is because the gene of the orange fur is on the X chromosome, or X chromosome, and then the males only need one copy to have it, while females need two. So that makes sense. Orange tabbies are often called marmalade cats or ginger cats because they're the color. The most famous of these cats was Garfield Morris, who I do not know who Morris is, and Puss in Boots. Heathcliff's another one.
How dare they forget Heathcliff?
What's Morris? What's Morris cat?
I have no idea. Morris. Probably some British.
Morris the cat. Thing. Oh, from, okay. That's the cat on the Nine Lives cat food. It's been commercial since the '70s. It was mostly British. But I remember an orange tabby. I didn't know the name of it was Morris. But that's the mascot for Nine Lives. It's Morris.
Yeah, which I don't know if you've seen any recent Heathcliff comic strip. It's pretty weird.
Yeah, I don't think they're comedy anymore. I think it's just like it's absurd satire.
Yeah,
which is on the verge of being like, is this supposed to be funny or is this just is this AI generated? Like,
I was actually in a comics Discord that almost ended over. That discourse. Is this funny or is this just stupid?
Because Heathcliff is when it came to the cartoon show, I used to watch both Garfield and Heathcliff, but I enjoyed Heathcliff a little bit more as a show. I thought it was a better show.
Yeah,
but Garfield's a better comic strip. I mean, Garfield minus Garfield is the greatest thing that's ever came out of any of those.
Oh yeah,
that's work of genius, like fan art. I love it.
Yeah.
I consider it fan art.
I'll consider that.
Okay, more facts. Orange tabbies tend to be friendly, outgoing, and playful. They're often known for being very vocal and having a loud purr. They love attention and affection from their humans. Orange tabbies have a distinctive M mark on their foreheads. Some legends say that is a blessing from the Prophet Muhammad, who loves cats, or from the Virgin Mary, who gave tabby cats a kiss.
Sure.
I hope you enjoy these facts about orange tabbies. They are truly amazing cats with a lot of personality and charm. If you have an orange tabby and know someone who does, give them a hug and a treat today. They deserve it. I've had we've had several orange tabbies. We had the one we had the longest was a really big furry cat. Long hair. It was a long hair cat. Very good. It wasn't a Mancoon, but it was very like near one of those sizes. I think we got him as a barn cat, and we named him. What was his original name? His original name was Boomer, after Boomer Esiason, the Bengals quarterback. But that's we never caught him that. We just called him Fatty.
Yeah,
because he was a big cat, and he lived to be pretty old, and he was a good cat, and he very much had a lot of those characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any orange tabbies?
No, we had a calico then.
Was it a female?
There's
yep, there you go. Yeah. The other way. I don't know. There was there a calico in this?
Yes, that's what the, because there's the little short, the short with the giant cat.
That
was a calico.
Yeah.
And then Michael does the Ultraman thing and just.
I think a lot of times they do the orange tabs because I think it's a very common cat. Orange tabby, and it's very easy to draw. Orange tabbies, and I would say black cats were the ones you kind of see the most in media.
Yeah.
Because I think they're very easy to draw and color for the most part.
Yeah.
Definitely black cats, but.
Oh, yeah.
But orange, you just make them orange and add a little pattern if you want, and boom, that's it. You're done. Garfield, Heathcliff, Morris, apparently. And then Puss in Boots, Tonio Banderas. Well, that's all the weird facts that they gave me. They gave me a lot more last time. I guess there's just more somehow there's more information on Sundre than there is on orange tabby cats, but
apparently.
Whatever internet, whatever AI program. OpenAI, Chat GPT, whatever.
next episode, we talk about Bobby Stock 1, fated to be a target.
Yes. I've seen a little bit of what this is. I don't know what type of show it is. I think it's like a space venture, but it is made by the same people who did, I think, Dream Dimension Hunter.
That makes
sense. Fedora. I think they did that as well. Well, I don't know. It should be fun. It's another 1985. And then after that, we're doing Angel Egg, which.
Oh, yeah. Great. Yeah. It's
the closest. Which is considered like a real thing. Yeah. these aren't real.
No.
These are all made up.
Yeah, no, these are real.
So you can check that out. I found it on YouTube and I found it on archive.org. I think there's like three of them. I think we're going to do just the first one because sometimes when there's like sequels, we've done them in like one go, but I think this one was released and I think they're releasing too big of a gaps that I consider them. And they do have like sequel names.
Yeah.
At least they haven't been repackaged as a TV, as a miniseries, like some of the other shows have. Right. A lot of other ones were like Megazone 23. Some of them were like released individually, but they were repackaged as a miniseries, so it's easier to do that way. But this one seems like it's not because no one remembers it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why would they?
Yeah.
But we're doing all this for this oversight committee, for this congressional, to see if we might ban anime. I think they're planning to probably ban it just because it's like they don't understand it and it's pervy.
Yeah.
And it confuses their nether regions.
Yeah.
I think that's what the congressman said. He's like, does anime confuse my nether regions?
It makes me feel yes or funny. No. Yes. It makes me feel funny. And I don't like that.
That's what he said. But I don't know. Maybe they'll ban anime. But I guess. if you're listening to this, congressman, I don't know how they're invading privacy with this particular anime. What's Michael?
Yeah.
I guess, well, cats are, can be, have been trying to use for, you ever hear the story about the U.S. government try to use a cat as a spy weapon?
I don't know.
This is a true story that the government did during World War II, where they implemented, like, they actually put a bunch of, like, they surgically like augmented a cat to have like listening devices and stuff inside this cat. And I don't know if it was war. I think it was War II to sneak into like Russia. I think it was Cold War then. To sneak into enemy lines to spy on people.
Yeah.
And there's one inherent flaw there's many flaws in this plan, but there's one versus like a cat versus a dog. You can train a dog to do stuff, but you can't really train a cat to do anything. You can possibly trick the cat into doing something. But you can't really like, okay, now I got the cats over. What happened was they put the cats over enemy lines and it didn't really go where it was supposed to go. And it quickly got hit by a car.
Yeah.
So they wasted probably, I assume, millions of dollars on this dumb cat thing. And it's like, this is stupid. Because you can't, make a sneaky cat into this. You can do that with a mouse more than you can a cat.
Yeah.
But none of that was in here. I don't – there could have been – I'll check the metadata to see if there's any other, hidden information. But for the most part, I don't see how this could – steal your information.
Yeah, no. This one.
And send it to Japan, which we have which we currently have a military base at. So I don't really know.
And have had for the past almost 100 years.
Yeah. So I don't really understand. Yeah. It's a vacation spot for people in Japan when they go to Oakland, Iowa. It's just because it's you know.
Yeah.
But there's beaches and stuff there.
Yeah.
I had an uncle live there.
Oh, that's cool.
He was in the Air Force.
Makes sense.
Yeah. But yeah, that's it. That's all we have for tonight. We rambled about cats. My cat made a lot of sounds. I don't know how this is a haphazard rush thing job. And I don't know what we're doing with our lives, man.
Yeah. I don't know. Just working for the man.
I don't know. But that's it. I have another podcast called Stagecoach Justice, which is currently I don't know what, doing nothing. I don't know what's going on. We should have new episodes up soon. It's a Western podcast where we cover Western movies. And you got your comics.
Yeah, comics. Got Yankee Doodle Strangler. Got Heat Death Love.
And Heathcliff Love.
Heathcliff Love, yeah. Currently working on the next one. Wrestling story.
Yeah, that sounds fun. I made a movie called Reenactment. It's you can buy a DVD on Amazon or you can watch it free on Tubi. And I don't really have anything else.
Yeah, that's all I got.
You can check out What's Michael.
Yeah, definitely check out What's Michael.
I recommend going to Michael's and watching this on your phone in Michael's.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah, but yeah, that's it. See ya.
See you.